What do you call the words?
The lyrics.
No. I'm drawing a blank. When it's in Spanish and I read it.
Oh. SAP. Like the closed captioning.
Not closed captioning. What's it called?
Yeah, captioning.
No, like.
Yeah, it's the lower thirds. It's the.
Like when it's a foreign language movie and
yeah, it's not dubbed, but it's captioned. It's captioned.
Captioned?
That's what it's called. It's called captioned.
No.
It's not
captioned.
It's not dubbed, but it's captioned.
Hey, Clarissa. What do they call it? No, it's what we hate.
Yeah, it's called captioning, but it's what I know you're looking for a different word for it.
Hey, Chris.
Subtitles.
There you go.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question: will you see it?
Happy Friday, Ted. It's episode 124, and tomorrow, Saturday.
That's right. Tomorrow is Saturday.
We have Bryce to open your beer. Is that what I understand?
Yeah. So tonight I told, we were chatting before in the green room and I said, I'm going to go with the blue beer tonight, the blue cap.
Yeah.
And at dinner, we had this beautiful dinner. It's like a Greek shepherd's pie, but instead of
Greek lasagna.
It's like Greek lasagna.
A Greek lasagna.
But instead of potatoes on top, instead of mashed potatoes, it has a bechamel. And that's like a cream and cheese mixture that crusts up on the top there. It's beautiful.
Thanks for defining, because I was about to ask, what is a bechamel?
It's a type of sauce, but when it's baked, it kind of crusts up.
Like, yeah, I gotcha. Gotcha.
But anyway, so during dinner, I was like, ooh, let me text Jimmy and tell him that we're going to do the blue one. And I was like, ooh, that's got a cork in it. And Bryce was all excited about popping the cork.
Well, after watching the episode, well, not the episode, but after watching the trailers, there's some elements in one of the trailers that I told Ted. I said, no, you got to go with the red cap.
Okay, so Bryce is going to pop the cap, and I'm going to pour the beer. So gently pop the cap. Don't worry about the ASMR.
Come on, make it go.
There it is. There it goes. Beautiful. So a lot of angle on this, I'm guessing.
Maybe. I don't know. You want to get some head in there. Oh, that looks wonderful. You know what? I'm going to do mine simultaneous. No sense in waiting. It's the same beer.
Okay. Let's you do your cork. You have corkage over there, and yeah. Bryce wants to give it a little nose check. Give your nose notes, Bryce. Come on.
Okay.
Bryce is 10 years old, but he's gonna have a developed nose palate for beer and coffees.
It smells a tad bit of coffee, but it also smells like a regular beer, not an IPA. Or a double IPA.
Listen to this.
No Dippa, no Imperial. No,
it's just regular beer. And if you look at it, if it was a tad bit less foam, it looks like a
chocolate. Like a root beer. Okay.
Yeah, root beer.
I'm going to have to go get diagonal cutters.
What?
Yeah, this thing broke and I can't untwist it. Jeepers. All right, I gotta be right back. I'll be right back.
Okay, take your time.
Bye.
Bye, Bryce. Have a good night.
And I am back. Man, when you need two different tools to open your beer, I gotta cut the cage off, and then I need the corkscrew, because the way I do it, I think I told you in the past, I soak the corks in star sand, and then it creates like a mega seal to the point I don't even need the cages.
You just need the cages so you grab more tools when you're opening it.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here.
Oh my God, it's like your glass is drinking it. You pour it so heavy.
I had a problem with carbonation on these, which is why I didn't give you a corked one. So I had to put extra yeast in some of them. And this one, again, unfortunately, is a little undercarbed, but I made sure I gave you the one that was good.
Oh, mine is fully carbed. Mine has a beautiful head on it. Yeah.
I put champagne yeast in that.
Oh, see? And this is not what I would expect when I would when you would say champagne yeast. Like the porter from last week, that's what I would expect from champagne yeast. But this is what champagne yeast looks like. It actually sits on top nicely, just like a stout. This is like a, this has some the stout qualities, right? This is more of a stout than last week. Is it a stout?
It's a Russian Imperial Stout.
Nice.
It's a clone of Old Rasputin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So did I give away
the connection?
The connection to the trailer of The Kingsman?
Yeah.
Old Rasputin.
No, it's awesome. No, it's a great clone. Too bad we can't talk too much about it because Old Rasputin, they like to send cease and desist out. So, yeah.
What was that one that was like from the Netherlands or something?
Yeah, that was the company. They called it. They changed their name from Rasputin because Old Rasputin asked them to, and they changed their name to cease and desist.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And then they had that underwhelming beer that we had that was yellow bellied. And it would look like it had the KKK.
Oh, you didn't like that mask. One?
It was like underwhelming compared to like, you know, they made basically a clone of Old Rasputin and or not a clone, but, you know, something similar in this Imperial Stout style. And it was great. But yeah, the yellow bellied was underwhelming, I guess. But no, okay, so that's enough about other beers. Your beer tonight is nice. It's heavy. It's thick. It has equal parts of bitiness, but it also has like a mellow, like it bites at the top of the taste. And then the aftertaste, it just mellow rolls. You know, I think that's what you're looking for in Old Rasputin too. You know, the Imperial Stouts, you want like the strong hit up top and then the mellow finish.
For sure. Yeah, it's 7.5 ABV, so it's not knocking you over the head, but it's strong enough.
Right.
And it's 76 IBUs, so it's pretty bitter. And what's cool about Russian Imperial Stouts is that they were first brewed in England.
Uh-huh.
And then Emperor Peter the Great of Russia was the one who, like, took his liking to it, and then they wound up making them for him, and that's how they kind of got their name of Russian. But really, they're English. You know, they're English brewed.
I mean, isn't IPAs too? They're called India Pale Ales, but I think their origins are also British. You know, it's all
what they would do with the India Pale Ale. They, you know,
it's for shipping,
and. The sun never set on the English Empire, right?
The sun never set on the Union Jack.
So when they, that's right. So when they sent their IPAs, well, let me say, when they sent their ales to India, they would spoil by the time they made the voyage. So what they did was they packed them just full of hops, and hops are a preservative. And what they did was they just threw a ton of hops in the barrels and just sent them off. And by the time they got there, they had that like overly hoppy aroma and flavor to them because they sat in the casks for, I mean, how long is the voyage?
Months, right?
Yeah, 3 months or something, right? So these things would just sit there and they'd wind up getting to the sailors and soldiers and everything in India. And that's where India Pale Ale came from.
We have so much to thank the British Navy for, you know, that the Indian Pale Ale is one of them for sure. And then also the proof, the whole proof system. Do you know the proof system was all about the rum and it had to be like above 80 proof to set on fire. And it was the way that they paid the sailors for a lot of the voyages.
And I did not know this.
And the sailors would set a little bit on fire just to make sure that they weren't getting the watered down hard liquor, the watered down rum. So if it set on fire, then it showed you the proof that it was enough alcohol in it, you know? So the proof system.
That was the proof. Interesting. I didn't know that. So very cool. But yeah, I'm glad you like it. And the last one will be next week to be determined or to be revealed, maybe.
And I got so excited when you're like, oh, this is the one I'm kind of concerned about. I really want to. I was like, oh, yes. Oh, yes, I can't wait. And now you said I have to wait another week. Okay, that's fine.
That's
I can
it.
Do that.
That's it. But hey, you know, with the Kingsman, a Russian Imperial Stout, old Rasputin, yeah, and, you know, yeah. It's a little apropos for tonight.
It's so, good. Yeah. Let's match the beers to the trailers. That's great. How was your week? How was your Father's Day?
Father's Day was good. I went out for a long bike ride. I started the 100,000.
Your boring hill, right?
Yeah, the 100,000 Leadville challenge thing. And I cut out all the flats. I'm just doing hill repeats. So I got out early on Sunday and went up and down, up and down, up and down. I don't know what I got. I think I got like 6,500 feet of climbing. Came home and barbecued a tri-tip, a bunch of good food and stuff. And the boys made me some cards. And yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was really quiet and mellow, but that's exactly how I like it, you know? And my family gave me exactly what I wanted, you know, just time,
space,
quiet time spent with them. We got to watch some Clone Wars end of the night and we barbecued. I rode my bike in the morning and, you know, and yeah, it was a great day. It was a great day. How about yourself?
Awesome. Yeah, I had a good quiet time. I was let to finish my puzzle while people were cooking.
That's right. Father's you like puzzles.
Day, so I was puzzling. And then my children, mainly driven by Audrey, they both gave me a card and it said, "Thank you, Dad, for having unprotected sex." So I'm glad my sense of humor is rubbing off of my children. So,
and I'm glad it's your 14-year-old daughter who's handing that off. That's hilarious. So how else was your week? What else did you do?
Oh, and then we had a little social distancing dinner with Frank and Barbara.
Oh, that's right.
On our picnic tables across the way. The rest of the week was, you know, it was like you said last week, work is work, man. And it just keeps piling on. And it's like, you know, one step forward, two steps back. And
I love that saying, though. Work is work, man.
And it was just so, you know, it's really, you know, intense. And like working from home is just like adding new challenges. And everyone's like, oh, it must be so great. And yeah, it's great to still be working and to still have a job and to be, you know, productive in it. But it has a whole new set of challenges. So
no, it's funny working from home. Like whenever people hear that, they think, "Oh, it must be amazing."
Yeah, you open up your bonbons and yeah,
you just walk out of the bedroom and you just slap away at that keyboard like you're in your pajamas and you get to do whatever you're gonna do, you know. But like, sometimes seeing people is an important thing, you know. Sometimes like going outside, like I have to make a concerted effort to walk out my door, and going to the mailbox is like, oh, that was an outing.
I'm on a conference call and I'm trying to speak. And I see Bryce walk into the bathroom. You know, it's on the other side of the house, but it's still right within my view. And I can't tell if people can hear it, but I can hear him peeing over there. Like, close the door when you're in the bathroom peeing, like I'm on a conference call, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I know. And I'm in meetings. Like, I sit on these, like, I don't know the best way to call them, committees, maybe.
Yeah.
But the Continuum of Behavior Committee. Or, you know, even with the bike stuff, the bike advocacy committee, you know, and you know, that one's volunteer, but the other one's like for work and everything. And I do these things and there's like lots of people involved and I'm one of the major players, you know, and
right.
And I'm trying to do things and stuff and the boys are behind me like, and even if they don't even hear me, let's say I have my mic muted, I look behind me because I could see myself in the right. In the video and I see them behind me and it's like they're choking each other out, you know, and they're next thing you know, like the figure four leg lock is being done to Mikey and Mikey's doing a backflip and throwing Timmy over the couch. And I'm just like, what is going on back there? You know? And
yeah,
you don't know how many times people make comments like, "Oh, your kids are so cute." And I'm just like, yeah, as they're murdering each other.
Yeah. So the rest of the week, early in the week, I got a deal on a dip station. Do you know dip station? you know, where you do like leg lifts and pull-ups and all that stuff. I was like,
did I ever tell you how I do my dips?
You have them. You have that big wooden rack.
No, but my dip station. Do you know what my dip station is?
What's your dip station?
My grandmother's old walker.
No way. Oh, yeah. Oh, you have showed me that. You have showed me that. That's right.
The old walker. So she gets this walker. And I'll tell you what, man. All you got to do is pick up your knees.
Yeah.
You know, like your feet to your knees.
Right.
And bam, you could rip out dips on that thing. I mean, anybody who wants like, you know, like cheap gym equipment, just go get a walker. Anyway, so you got a dip station. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Dip station. I think last weekend I started looking for it, and we have an elliptical in the garage, and we're cleaning out the garage, and we got, you know, a couple of dumbbells, but we're like, oh, what piece do you need? You know, the kids are like, I want kettlebells, and I'm like, oh, kettlebells. Can I just say kettlebells are the most elusively priced item throughout all of like second market stuff, like all of Facebook and all of Mercari, like people don't know how to price kettlebells. They're like kettlebells that are like $300 and then kettlebells that are like $60. And I was like, this range of pricing for kettlebells is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then dumbbells are pretty standard. They're like $2 a pound, you know, is like roughly the what you're going to pay for dumbbells.
You got to get into barbell training, man. That's where it's at, barbells. Just squats and deadlifts. That's all you need to do.
But I was like, I love this. I love the dip station. I had a dip station when I was single back in 1999. And I would just like, I would smoke a lot of pot and then I would just do tons of leg lifts.
I was so numb. I couldn't feel the pain.
And I would just like, I would just power through leg lifts and pull-ups.
I was so ripped.
In 1999, I will say I was pretty ripped. But anyway, so I was like, Ann's like, what should we get? Do we need a bench? Do we need this? Do we need that? And I was like, all right. Well, the thing I really want is dip station. And like, we started looking for it. And you know how when you start looking for something, then Facebook like feeds it to you. They're like, oh, look at this thing. Look at this thing. And I was like, oh, there's a, you know, somebody was offering a dip station in North Hollywood. So I was like, oh, North Hollywood.
Like used?
Yeah, used. But it looked beautiful. Like a weeder, you know, Joe Weeder. Anne's like, who's Joe Weeder? I was like, he's a master of like working out.
Bodybuilding legend.
And I said, if it's got his name on it, it's good, right? And these people, like, I guess they're an apartment complex or something. He just wants to get rid of it. He's like, $75. I was like, all right, $60. And he's like, all right, if you come and get it, like in the next hour, you got it for $60. I'm like, I'm coming. I'll be there in 20 minutes. And the whole way I'm going down there, he's like, other people have offered me the 75, but I promised you 60. I was like, oh, I'm on my way. I'm 5 minutes away, right? And I get to the address, and I'm like, I'm here. He goes, I'm in a blue shirt. And there's a guy in a blue shirt. So I was like, hey, do you have the dip station? And he looks at me and goes, no. And I was like, what's going on? So I text the guy back, and he's like yelling the street name at me, like with exclamation points. I'm like, yes, I'm here. And I took a picture of the outside of the building, and he's like, oh, sorry. And he gives me the other address. So he must manage complexes in this like neighborhood up and down the street. And he gave me the wrong address. So I was like, go to the other end of the block. And he's bringing it out to the car. It looks brand new. It's amazing. So I'm thinking, why would he get rid of it?
So you're doing like pull-ups and...
Yeah, I'm doing leg lifts and pull-ups and...
Right. Because I looked it up here and it looks like you can do all kinds of like body weight stuff.
Yeah, it's all body weight stuff. But I told Ann, the three things I do at the gym is I run on the treadmill, I do leg lifts on the dip station, and then I do like reverse flies where I do pull down flies on the bars on another kind of rack. But I can do flies with dumbbells, and I can do dip station leg lifts and, you know, do Russian twists with the dip station and all that stuff. And I can run around my block. So I was like, forget the gym. This is enough for me, you know?
No, I agree, man. Like, we do all kinds of stuff, you know, and like, one of the things is for like pull-ups. We do pull-ups. We got one of those door things,
right?
You know, where you put it in the door frame, and then you get, there's your pull-up bar, you know. And then, although we do have barbells and stuff, but yeah, I mean, like you could do so much stuff, so many different workouts and exercises just by being creative. Like I said, the Walker. I could do dips on the Walker, you know, and I don't need to spend $100 a month on a gym membership. I mean, I could just get what I need. The main thing is you got to have the discipline to like
to do it,
turn off all the crap so you could get your workout done, so you don't sit there and get distracted by every beep and boop that your phone and computer makes. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, just turn it all off. Put on a podcast, put on music, whatever gets you going, and then just get your workout done 35, 40 minutes later. Bam, you're just so thrashed. And then take a shower, you know, eat. Bam, you're good to go.
So Frank and I are working on running some electricity out there. I got some electricity, you know, extension cords and stuff out there now, but we're gonna run some proper electricity over the
next couple weeks. You're like Rocky Balboa chopping wood, you know?
I don't need a splitter. I do it myself. So we're doing a lot of workouts. Audrey's like, I'm going to be ripped at the end of the summer.
That's hilarious.
We do our run together. And then she does all these leg lifts and curls and stuff. And she goes, oh, I normally curl 25, but you only have 15s, Daddy. I'm like, yeah, 15s at home. You know, I don't know where my 25s are. I got to find them. They're worth like $100, you know, a pair of 25s.
That's right.
But I don't know where they are. I'll find them when I keep cleaning out this garage. How about you? What else have you done this week?
Dude, all I got to say is, you know, it's like the army, man. You just go there. It's like John Candy said. They got this 8-week weight loss program. You know, I remember going in the army. I was like, what? They got me doing these crazy maneuvers, and like my legs are burning, and somehow I'm not even using my legs. So I built a new bike this week.
Oh, nice.
And a frame I got last, October maybe, and I bought the frame, and then I put like this old Shimano Dura stuff on it, all the gears and components and everything. It was kind of worn out, you know, but I needed to like regather my cash and save some money for some new stuff, and which I did. 9 months later, I save enough money to get like new components. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I got all the new stuff and I put the bike together, and tomorrow I'm going to go out for a ride and break it all in and see how it rides and everything. But I took it out for a test ride today, and man, it is awesome. So it was that I would shift and then it was like, ooh, it's almost there. I kind of nudge it, or I'd overshift and I got to like bring it back. And it was this old like late 90s Shimano Durace, if anybody knows anything about bicycle stuff. And that was 9-speed, meaning 9 in the back. Now I got 12-speed. There's 12 in the back, and it's Campagnolo record.
Do you see that stuff like right here? It's like all flying way over my head.
I click the button, and it's like right where it needs to be. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe it. I don't have to do anything. I'm confused. I don't have to like monkey with it. I just click the button. It puts it right where it's supposed to be. I'm just like, this is amazing.
What?
So
it just, it chooses the gear off the speed?
No. What I'm saying is I shift it. Like I click the button.
Uh-huh.
And it's just boom. It's like right there. It's not like I click the button and then I got to like give it a little nudge because it's worn out. You know, the old stuff's worn out.
Oh, okay.
Like I would shift, but then I got to give it like a little bit of a nudge, you know, to say like, no, you really want to go into that gear.
Maybe that's my problem, because I always shift and I'm like, it'll catch. Just keep listening and waiting for it. and then it eventually crosses over.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, it shouldn't be that way. Even the cheap stuff ought to get there. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is my stuff's just worn out.
My bike is old. I got an old bike.
Yeah, that's how this is. It's like 22-year-old components. And I just need a new stuff. So I bought this new stuff, this Campy Record stuff, and it's like, oh my God, it's amazing. Anyway, so I talked about the 100,000 feet. I'm going back out tomorrow. The other thing, though, the last thing I wanted to talk about is blood pressure. So I've been monitoring my blood pressure for quite some time.
Oh, I just started doing this. It's so funny you mentioned that. I've only been doing it for 2 weeks, but go ahead.
Monitoring blood pressure?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you on meds or no?
I'm on meds. I'm actually holding them right now. Benazepril HCTZ.
Oh.
What are you on?
Okay, we need to talk then, because not tonight. I mean, I don't want to violate HIPAA more than I've been violating HIPAA.
If it's about yourself, it's not violating HIPAA.
I know, I'm just But, you know, my blood pressure's always been kind of like on the fringe, you know, and I'm a fit guy. You
right,
know? I'm not
yeah.
saying, you know, and I don't smoke or anything. I eat healthy, although I probably have too much coffee and beer, I guess. But
oh, I've had to cut out coffee. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So I haven't had coffee for a couple days. I'm just like, life is miserable. And life's, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, it's not the caffeine so much. That doesn't really bother me. Like, I just love that rich, robust, you know, so bitter.
Yeah.
So black and heavy and rich. I don't like that light stuff.
Right.
And the thing is, the darker the roast, the less the caffeine.
Oh, it's inverse to the acidity. Yeah. The acidity is inverse to that. Yeah. It's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. If you could give it to me like the darkest and richest and strongest and boldest, like that's how I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I didn't have a headache or anything. It's just I missed that thing in the morning. So I made tea. I'm just, you know, decaf tea. I'm like, this sucks, you know, like anyway, blood pressure's been, you know, like always upper 20s, low 30s on the high number. And the low number is consistent, like low 70s, mid 70s.
Okay.
And blood or heart rate's always like low 50s. You know, like I'm really fit.
Oh, good. Yeah, you're right there.
But the upper number is getting into the 140s.
No way.
The lower number, the systolic is getting into the 140s. The diastolic is still in the low 70s. And the heart rate's still like in the low 50s. So I'm like, I don't get this. You know, so now, of course, I get worried about it. So now my blood pressure goes up because I'm worried about it.
Do you do it the same time every day?
Oh, dude, I got to the point like I have like a spreadsheet
mm-hmm.
and I do it like I just had a beer. Let me take it. And I take notes. What is that? That's an app.
I got the Bluetooth one. I got a Bluetooth enabled
Bluetooth one?
Blood pressure cuff. I got the Omron.
Oh, I have an Omron.
You have the Omron?
No, it's not Bluetooth enabled.
Evolve. The Omron Evolve. So it's so funny because I've been taking my blood pressure for the past 2 weeks. And then I put it in my phone and I called my doctor and I are texting back and forth through that little app, the Cedars app. And I was like, she's like, how is your blood pressure doing? I was like, oh, I saw it in the Cedars app. I thought you could see it. And then she wrote back to me. She goes, I can see it. It looks great. Sorry to interrupt your story, but I was like, so I didn't even link those two things. I didn't link Omron to my Cedars Sinai app. But it just knew that it was like supposed to do it.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it fed her the information.
That's a HIPAA violation.
I'm sure I authorized it somewhere in the little terms and conditions, but
here's what I love though. I bring a blood pressure, don't even tell Ted, and he's sitting there, he's got his pills showing me, he's got the app fired up and he has the cuff all sitting there, ready to talk, ready to go, and it's just like, how does this happen? Like, Ted, how do you know?
I don't know. I don't know.
There are no secrets, man. There are no secrets.
We're on the same wavelength. I'm sorry. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No. So I'm going to call my doctor on Monday and I'm just going to say like, you know, hey, we've been talking. He's been watching my blood pressure now for a couple of years and it's always been like 128 ish,
mm-hmm.
you know, the systolic. Diastolic's always low. I think I got those right. The diastolic's the low one. And that's always been low or below average, I guess, which is a good thing. And the systolic has always been like that borderline, you know? And now, man, I don't know what's been going on the past few weeks, but it's just blown up until like 130s, 133 is average. Few times I'm sitting there, like there was one time I'm taking my blood pressure, I'm like 160, like I'm freaking out. I'm like, all right, calm down. The more I freak out, the higher it's gonna go.
Course,
you know what
course.
I mean? So yeah, so I get it back down in the 130 range, but man, it's like I gotta do something about it. I think I'm time for meds.
So you're not on any meds?
No.
Okay.
I'm not on any. And that's the thing that bothers me about it though. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, okay, what leads to high blood pressure? And you know, you look at all the risk factors. All right, caffeine. And there's a lot of research that says caffeine lowers blood pressure.
It's
because
like
it does something where it makes the arteries more or less elastic. So it has an initial spike and then it lowers. Alcohol. Okay, I like my beer. Other than that, like obesity and, you know, whatever, right?
You're that's none all of those things.
In check, man. Right. Yeah, I'm like skinnier than anything. You know, always ride my bike and weightlifting and, you know, I wouldn't say skinny, like skinny fat, you know, but like I'm fit, you know, like I'm strong, fit, you know, I'm toned.
100%.
Yeah. But the number one thing I think is on there is genetics, and everybody in my family, I mean, everybody, men and women, old and young, man, everybody's on pills.
Hypertension.
Yeah, everybody is, but me. So I think it's just...
It's finally time.
Yeah, my fitness has kept it at bay for so long. I think it's time, you know, and whatever.
It's amazing. Like, it's like a system under pressure. You know, you just think about any system that's under pressure in anything, in your car, and, you know, on your... any kind of pneumatic system... which is what we are, you know?
Exactly.
It has like a durability, a robustness, a lifespan because of pressure, you know? So if you can take a pill and, you know, if it is in genetics and if it is on your thing, just call it. Just do it. And, you know, like when I was at my heaviest, I was taking two of these pills at a time and I lost the weight.
Whoa.
And I finally, you know, I lost the weight and I was still taking two pills. And I was like, I called my doctor. I was like, I just feel like run down all the time.
You're like, I'm dizzy.
But I'm doing everything I should. I'm like dizzy. I can't stand up fast. And she was like, oh my God, your blood pressure is like dangerously low. Like cut down to one pill. But, you know, I think that's that. And then I, you know, I'm not cheating it, but I do like to meditate once a day right before I take my blood pressure at night. And I tell Anne and I tell Bryce, I say, you know, when the meditation is over, normally you can hear the guy say, you know, thank you for meditating with me. I said, when that's over, just reach over and hit this button over here. Just hit this button right here. I don't want to move at all. I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to say anything. And you just hit the button when the thing's over. And everybody has their marching orders. And I just sit there very still, you know, with my heart and my cuff, right, you know, right at the same level. I try to do it just so. I don't cross my legs. I'm not trying to cheat, but I want to give the purest reading possible.
You know, it's funny, though, and then we could get on. We can move on.
Okay, sorry.
I do that, too. Not saying I'm meditating and I want to cheat it or anything, but I do that, too, and I try to get the lowest reading possible. But a lot of the times, I'm, like, running around the house like a maniac, doing whatever, yelling at the boys, making lunch, like, whatever it is. Like, you know, come out of the bathroom, you know, and pick up the dog poop, and you do all the stuff you do. I'm like, right now is when I need to take it. Like, let's see what it is. And I'm like, 148. I'm like, son of a bitch. You know, because, like, sitting and meditating, sure, you get a good reading, but that's not like life. Your life is like, I just got done picking up like three scoops of dog poop and, you know, like brought all the trash out to the front, yelled at the kids to clean up the Lego and, you know, on and on and on. It's like, now's when I need to take it. Like, this is the time.
I have a couple of those.
Accurate is right now.
I have a couple of those readings, and it's like immediate. And I put notes in there. I said immediately following a 30-minute 2.12-mile run walk, and then it says hypertension stage 1, 136. And Anne's like, "Are you sure you're noting that so the doctor sees that they that you weren't like?"
And you're on pill. Well, and you're taking a pill.
Right, but that was like after I finished running. Like I ran into my driveway. I grabbed my cuff and I put it on, like after right after the run, you know.
Well, yeah. But you will. I mean, weightlifting, running, cycling, and all that stuff will give you a temporary spike in blood pressure.
Yeah, because I took it 5 minutes later, and it was within normal. So it was
exactly.
It's so funny. Anyway, okay, sorry.
All right. So how about we get to, since we've been teasing. The beer and, well, not teasing the beer. I guess we've been drinking beer, but let's, before the beer's gone, let's get to the Kingsman. The King's Man, I guess, is what it is.
So, the King's Man, yes. This is, do you know the series? Have you seen the other two movies?
I have not, but oh. I learned that this is based on a comic book and that Marvel does.
It's based on a comic book series. And it's so funny because, you know, everybody talks about X-Men, you know, being like, oh, we're going to get X-Men and the Marvel, the mutants crossover first. And this is like 20th Century Studios. This is kind of like, it feels like it has this Disney flair to it. You know, it has the other stuff. The first two Kingsman movies are amazing. If you haven't seen them, you totally should. They're not not for family viewing, but they're some of my favorite comic book movies. The second one is just like amazingly raunchy. You know what I mean? Like,
are the titles also the Kingsman?
Yeah, one's Kingsman and one's Kingsman Full Circle or something. But yeah, when you see the prince, there's a princess in the second one and she is amazing. So definitely see those couple of movies. So this one is like the prequel, the precursor to both those movies.
Oh, Samuel Jackson's in it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. It has some of the best fighting sequences. Taron Egerton plays like our hero and he kind of falls into the Secret Service of the Kingsman. And, you know, it's just an amazing. He's the one who played Elton John in Rocket Man.
Oh, yeah.
So he has the Kingsman, Kingsman Secret Service, and then Kingsman the Full Circle, the Golden Circle. Sorry, the Golden Circle. They're both amazing films. Like you, it's they're must watches. So definitely see them.
They're definitely on the list. We have nothing to do tomorrow but watch the Kingsman.
If you could find it or rent it or something, yeah. So this is definitely a franchise. It feels like, you know, it could really blossom under the Disney treatment of franchise. You put Kevin Feige in there and you try to figure out how to really blow this out. And it feels like, you know, this is the origin story for an organization.
Are they all edited the way this one's edited with that really like, I don't know, really fast jump cuts?
Oh, yeah.
They're all like this.
There is a fight sequence in a church that is the bloodiest, most gruesome fight sequence, and Colin Firth lays waste to all these churchgoers, and it's just
oh my god,
it's an amazing thing because, like, you know, when you get into the story of it, it makes sense. But when I say it, it sounds like awful. But but yes, he, you know, it's a weaponizing of social media and the phone, basically. You know, when you have Sam Jackson plays like a Steve Jobs type character.
Okay.
But imagine if Steve Jobs was evil. You know what I mean? So I guess, what would that be? That would be,
Bill Gates.
No.
Oh man, I said it.
You went the other way. And I was going to say, it's really more about,
Elon Musk.
No.
Let me guess. While you're thinking, let me guess.
Yeah. Come on. You got to get it. Zuck.
Oh, Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerstein.
You got zucked, man. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, he plays a Steve Jobs character, and they basically use phones and people's phones to take over the world. But, but you know, Colin Firth and Taron Egerton, you know, they're an amazing duo in this movie and then the next movie. Yeah. So with that, it has a lot to live up to, this movie, but it looks like it delivers. It looks like it has that core good vibes to it, you know? So this is a must watch. And I don't know, I'm hoping that it's somewhere for us to watch.
Well, it says it's coming out September in the theaters, but we'll see. I agree with you. It's a must watch. I definitely want to watch it. It looks awesome. I'm going to go watch all the other ones. And I love how it's a collection of history's worst tyrants, like old Rasputin. That's how we got to this beer tonight, right?
Have you named this beer?
Oh, I call it what it is, Russian Imperial Stout. I mean, I sometimes name it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I didn't name this one, like, anything like funny or anything. Cause I mean, if I were a brewer and I was going to like have a beer and that was going to be the beer, like, yeah, of course you got to name it. I homebrew, man. What do I care? 5 gallons later, it's all gone. But yeah, I mean, no, this looks amazing. I love the editing. I love how, I think this is like, well, I hate to say the future because it's now, but I love this type of a computer graphic. It's just so amazing.
Oh yeah.
Just how quick and how it shows all angles when the ship blows up, the way the submarines operate and everything. I mean, it's just so cool how they do that.
It has like a steampunk kind of vibe.
Kind of, yeah. That's a good way to put it. I didn't think about that, but that's a good way to put it. You know, it's just very cool. So I'm looking forward to watching it. I think I'm going to hook up on the other ones between now and when this comes out.
Awesome.
You know, I appreciate you telling me about those.
Let's name this beer Rice Iphans.
Rice Iphans. Okay, give me the background.
Which is the name of the actor who plays Rasputin in this movie.
Oh, nice. Where is that guy from? Rice Iphans.
He's from Wales. He's Welsh.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Rice? R-I-C-E?
R-H-Y-S. Oh, now we're gonna try to pronounce this. R-H-Y-S. Is that his name? I don't even... Anne knows how
Reese.
To pronounce Reese.
Probably Reese.
You're right. I'm wrong.
I would say Reese.
How do you say it? How do you pronounce his last name? I-F-A-N-S.
Iphans.
Yeah, okay. So I was closer on that one.
Rice Iphans. Yeah, I would say Rice Iphans.
Rice Iphans.
Okay, I know how to pronounce this one though. Hamilton.
Hamilton. Are you excited about Hamilton? Are you a Hamilton fan?
Well, I can't say yes or no because I've never seen it. So I don't know if I'm a fan. I'm looking forward to watching it. I definitely am going to watch it.
Have you listened to it? Have you listened to any of the songs?
I've heard the music, yeah. I've listened to the music.
Okay.
Yeah. No, what I'm saying, though, is like I've never seen the acting. I've never seen a play out, you know, like on the Broadway or off Broadway, whatever you want to call like Pantages. But like I've never seen a played out on, you know, in the theater.
Okay.
I wanted to. And I think we were... I don't remember what was, we were looking at tickets and we were looking at doing something because it was supposed to be coming to theater like right around this time actually. And then, you know, of course COVID breaks out and then we're just like, well, screw that. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to watch it. And you know, the one thing I got to say though, and you know, like I've seen in the past, I've seen things like Miss Saigon and, you know, just
a
bunch of different Broadway, I don't know, blockbusters? What do they call them? Like the big musical, like
hits, you know? Like, I don't even know what you would call them, but yeah, blockbuster's fine.
A lot of the big ones, right?
Yeah. Cats.
Never saw Cats. Don't care to. What was the other one we saw? We saw Phantom, you know, and
the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, Phantom, and we saw, you know, a bunch of stuff. The thing that I walk away with every single time is I'm lost because I can't understand the singing. And I that bothers me because like the singing is awesome. The production is awesome. It's amazing. I love it. Like I said, I mean, you know, you look at some of the bigger ones that I've seen, man, they are just so incredible. But when I leave, I'm like, I think I got the gist. It's kind of like the singing and the musical side of it is a lot like subtitles. There's something lost in translation. Like I could read the subtitles.
Right.
Sure. I get what's going on because like they told me what's going on, but like you miss it in the language. You miss it in like, there's something lost. And musicals are the same way to me. I love the production.
Right.
But I there's something lost. I don't know what it is. I can't keep up.
Did you know that in high school, I was the title character in Rodgers and Hammerstein's The Mikado?
In high school. And no wonder you went down the film route.
And part of the reason I was the Mikado in this was the Mikado had... I think zero singing lines. in the production. So I think I said like two lines of dialogue and that was it. And all the other, you know, Three Little Maids and all that other stuff was all sung by professionals or people on a professional route. They were like, all right, Ted, you want to be in this? We'll give you the title role. He doesn't sing, but you're going to do this great.
That's amazing. And you know, it's funny. I think, I don't know what the episodes are, but I think you mentioned that in two other episodes.
Oh, man. Crowning glory. But I, you know, the kids and myself, and somewhat love Hamilton. We can't wait to see it. We're going to see it.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah.
We're going to see it next Friday. I can't wait. So next Friday, which means we're going to see it tomorrow, if you're listening to this, on Disney Plus. I think this will do gangbusters for Disney Plus.
What you're saying is we're recording on Saturday?
No, we're recording on Friday.
But doesn't it come out Friday?
It comes out Friday, but I'm saying if you're listening to this, if the audience is listening to this, it's going to come out tomorrow or midnight tonight.
I know.
So then we're going to watch it.
I know. And then we're going to record 2 days later on Saturday, right?
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. Say we'll record on Saturday. There we go. Okay. So we can talk about it. I can't wait to watch this on the big screen outside and just like blare it like for all the world to see, to hear. But yeah, so Disney did gangbusters to get this out early, to put it, you know, on the 3rd of July to kind of moment, you know, make it more of a momentous occasion.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
And then also just they pulled it up 2 years, I think. I think they had planned on putting this out 2022 and they pulled it up to this year. So very excited. Glad it's happening. It looks great. It looks beautiful.
You know what shocks me, though?
What's that?
They have it ready to go. Why are they mothballing it for 2 years, making people just sit around waiting? Like, you got it. Just put it out there.
Well, you have to schedule stuff. I mean, come on. You got to, like...
It's streaming. Who cares? Everybody gets it when everybody wants it. There's no such thing as Tuesday night at 7 anymore, you know, yes, or whatever yes. It was.
I get it. The Thursday is not must-see TV anymore. I get that.
Exactly.
But, you know, you want to build some anticipation. But I think that's what coronavirus has done. Coronavirus has thrown all these timetables out. We said it, you know, in 3 podcasts ago and 10 podcasts ago. The whole idea of waiting for things has evaporated. And that's why, you know, just to go back a little bit to the Kingsman, you know it's going to come out in theaters in September. And I think there's a good relationship between theaters and Fox and Disney. You know what I mean? Like we're not crazy like Universal where we're going to bite the hands that feeds us on the theatrical side. But I think it's going to be shorter. I think you're going to have smaller windows. You have Jurassic Park and Jaws and The Shining like topping the charts this past month because only drive-thrus are making money. You know what I mean? It's kind of a crazy time to be a theatrical exhibitor.
You know, I don't know, and this might be for another time. We're going a little long, but I think that we should table this conversation and pick it up later. But let's just tease it a little bit, because I think we do need to talk about the future of the theater. I mean, streaming was already like laying waste to the theater. And obviously you had big movies coming in every May and December. You had the Star Wars movies coming in and people go to the theater for that. But as time goes on and people get bigger televisions
or projectors in the backyard, like me,
I don't see movie theaters, you know, they're going to become fewer and fewer and it's going to become a novelty like vinyl records or something.
Yeah.
Let's table that discussion for another time.
Okay.
We'll get into that and we can figure out what the future might look like and prognosticate and everything. But in the meantime, let's get into what we're watching. What are you guys watching?
Yes.
I know Twister, I heard.
So we watched Twister. We started Twister early in the week. I think it was like Tuesday morning we started Twister. And I was like, I gotta go to work. You know, like I get home from my run and I take a shower and Anne's like, oh, just, you know, you have a half an hour before, you know, work before 9 o'clock, just get back in bed and we'll watch a movie or watch, just start a movie or something. And we started Twister and I was like, oh, 9 o'clock hits. And I was like, I started to get emails. They're on my phone. They're starting right now. And, you know, like at 8:50, they're already starting. And I was like, I don't have to answer for 10 more minutes, but then they kind of mount up. And I was like, oh, we have to stop it. So we stopped it. And then tonight we made this beautiful dinner and And then we were watching it. The kids were off doing their other things, playing Minecraft and work. Audrey's working on her project, her summer project. And I was like, let's finish Twister. So we finished Twister. And by the time dinner rolled around, it was the last half hour of Twister. And the kids came in and Anne's like, oh, we got to change to something else. And I was like, no, no, just let them watch the last half hour of this movie. And I was, and they were so taken in this last half hour, they were just caught up in the action of this movie. And I was like, who's the director of this? This is an amazing film, you know, like amazingly underrated film. And it's Jean Dubont. And I don't know if you know Jean Dubont, maybe not a household name now, but he directed Speed.
I do not.
He directed Speed.
Oh.
And then Speed 2, Cruise Control, and then Twister, and then a couple other movies, a horror movie, and then something else. But yeah, like movies that I love. So I was like, I love this director. I don't know why we don't, you know, utilize him more. But so they're doing a reboot for Twister. We saw earlier this week, Anne saw it.
Yeah, I saw that.
And we have to thank Anne too for programming tonight because she's the one who picked the trailers for this evening. So we're glad to have her input as always. And then outside, what did we watch outside? Did we see anything good? In the outdoor theater.
The outdoor theater. You're in the bowl.
Yeah, in the bowl, in our backyard bowl. So we didn't watch anything great out there, but I guess we watched the Willoughbys again. I don't know if I mentioned
what?
That. I was like, we're just watching Willoughbys again, you know, because the kids are
over and over and over.
So we've seen it like, I think we've seen the Willoughbys like 4 or 5 times, which is what it's meant for, you know, it's meant for repeat viewing. And then, oh, this isn't what we're watching, but what we're going to watch. We finally said, Frank and Barbara, tomorrow night, come over and we can have social distancing movie night because it's a big screen and it's in the backyard, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to do Star Wars. We're going to, I think they've only seen the original 3. So I think we're going to try to figure out, we're going to start with 7, 8, 9. We're going to do 7, 8, 9 with them over a few nights.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What I have to do is get you the ones that I bought where.
Oh, yeah. Are they VHS or are they DVDs?
No, they're Blu-rays.
Oh, they're Blu-rays. Okay.
This guy, he made them. I forget what it is. It's some like, I don't even want to say Russian. I don't think he's Russian, but Ukrainian or something. But this guy was such a Star Wars fan that he edited together all the movies to the original theatrical release.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I've watched them and everything, and like they are amazing. So like when you watch Star Wars, it doesn't say A New Hope or anything. It strictly says Star Wars. It gets into the scroll. It's everything. None of the new stuff that they put in. None of the like farting aliens or anything, you know. And they are awesome. I got to get them to you one of these days so you guys can screen them and everything.
Well, next time, I think you're coming down in July. So let's
mid-July, yeah.
So let's bring them down with you and we'll watch them in the backyard or something, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. That sounds great.
And I'll drag out the, you know, on Father's Day, we talked about it with Frank and I've been trying to upgrade the projector system. I got a PVC frame for our screen. So I'm upgrading that a little bit.
What are you doing for sound though?
I have a boombox. I have my college system, my college sound system.
You pulled that out of the corner of the garage, or
I pulled it out of the garage. Frank gave me a rolling desk, so the rolling desk houses the whole projector and the sound system. And then I got tons of speaker wire, so I just put the speaker wires. I spread the speakers out to the corner.
And how does it connect? Like AV type wire or something?
Yeah, it's just like what is it? The RCA jacks.
They're black and red. The RCA jacks.
The white and red and yellow. Yeah.
White and red. Yeah, white and red.
And then it converts it to the quarter inch headphone jack.
Exactly.
So it converts it to a headphone jack. It goes goes straight into the side of the projector.
Got it. Yeah.
And then the projector puts the audio out from the.
So it's like stereo. It's not like 7.1 or something.
Exactly. It's just stereo. Yeah. But you know,
but that's
if
fine.
It's booming, it's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we have a DVD player that I hooked up to it today. I was trying to make it rear project, but it wasn't getting, I could make the projector invert its field, but I couldn't make the Amazon Fire Stick invert.
Oh.
So that was part of the problem. So we'll see if that how that works. But, you know.
And that's the thing. If it's not surround sound, just make it louder.
Exactly. Just turn it up.
Right?
Turn it up.
Yeah.
You know.
Eventually, it's all surround sound.
If the neighbors have a party going on, it's too loud, just turn it up. Just turn it up.
That's it.
How about you? What have you been watching? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. One last thing.
No, go for it. Go for it.
Somebody feed Phil. I'm sorry. We are such Phil nerds, Phil Rosenthal nerds. We love this show so much. We watch it every night at dinner except for tonight because of that. Oh, we've also been watching Raiders of the Lost Ark because Bryce wanted to see it. And we did Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade over a couple of nights. But Phil Rosenthal, there's something about the thesis of his project. His project is all about like eating great things around the world. But every episode ends with him at somebody's house eating a home-cooked meal. And it's about the people that you meet when you travel.
Oh, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, I know you're a great traveler. And there's a great Copenhagen episode that you could probably start with. The city of bikes, you know what I mean? You know, you love Copenhagen, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. No, certainly.
You know, he goes to every city around the world, so many cities, and just eats with the people of the city. And he's an amazing person, and we have fallen in love with it. And the funny thing about it, you know, on CBS All Access, how I railed in them about, like, give me a skip intro. Give me a skip intro. You don't have the skip intro. Well, I make our family watch the Somebody Feed Phil intro every night because it is the mousse-bouche of the episode. It is the one bite appetizer that you need to have before you watch it because it just, it's a song and it tells you exactly what's going on in front of you. You know, Phil will sing for you. He'll fly to you. He'll dance for you. You know what I mean? And while this beautiful singer is singing these lyrics, he's doing these things from this season of the episodes. So every season has a new version of Phil doing this. And it's only 6 episodes per season. So it's just this beautiful treat of like, oh, we haven't seen yet where he's dancing for this person. And the only thing that he asks in return is somebody feed Phil. And then it's always like one of these great chefs, like shoving a piece of food on a fork in Phil's mouth. You know what I mean? So this mousse-bouche, this intro to this show is so amazing that I make the kids watch it. And usually 4 or 5 episodes, they're okay. But by the 6 episodes, they're like, just skip the intro. I'm like, no. The thing about Phil, Somebody Feed Phil, is that we watch the intro. We watch the whole sound. We watch the whole intro song because it's getting you into the episode. So I don't know if you've watched it yet. I know I've talked about it for a couple weeks. So
I have not watched it, but how? Okay, so he's traveling the world eating. How is he different than Anthony Bourdain?
Anthony Bourdain was edgy, and Phil Rosenthal is like the most family-friendly guy you could ever meet.
So he's more light and comedic.
Light and comedic and more heartfelt. Like Anthony Bourdain.
Oh my God, that was what I was about to say.
Yeah, Anthony Bourdain, I loved what he did, but he did it with such an edge and he did it with such like a dare to life. And it's so sad because, you know, he was troubled. But, you know, Phil.
Well, yeah.
Phil has this love of life and a love of people that just comes through. And half the episodes are about the local people that they hire for the crew and like as translators. And like he talked to somebody who was like his waiter at this big hotel. And he was like, he's like, oh, just sit down with me and have breakfast with me. And he's like, oh, I can't do that, sir. You know, I work at this hotel. And he was like, no, I'm a guest. I'm making you sit here and eat with me. You know what I mean? So he has this disarming humor that he used to produce television, and he uses it to disarm people, and everybody that he hits it off with, they have this, you know, when you're around funny people, you become funnier. You know what I mean? It's like this crescendo that he does. You know, he'll give you a joke and you'll like laugh at the joke, but then you'll give it back to him, and it's like this beautiful repartee that they have. They're always going back and forth, and it's just a beautiful thing that he does. And, you know, it is the best feel good television that is out there that I can tell you about.
We'll check it out. But yeah, so we watched the first episode of Waco.
Oh, okay.
So have you seen Waco?
I have not, but I was big into Koresh back in the day.
Yeah. Oh, you were a Branch Davidian?
No, I like cults. I like the whole concept of it is kind of evocative.
Yeah. No, I know. It's remarkable, isn't it? But yeah, we watched the first episode, and it entices you to want to watch more.
Okay, cool.
It came out in 2018, and a lot of a lot of recognizable actors that have been in many things. And Michael Shannon is probably the biggest name, but there's a ton of other ones that you'd recognize in this.
Kathy Bates plays what's her name? Janet Reno, right?
I think so. Yeah, there's a ton of people in it.
That's awesome.
We watched the fourth episode of Devs finally, the one that you've been like touting on.
Were you high?
No, wasn't high.
Oh, see, you lost.
I don't know where the 15 minutes of droning sound went on. I was waiting for like 15. I was waiting for like just 15 minute stretch of just wah, wah, wah. I was like, this is going to be brutal. Okay, I get the droning sound. It was maybe like 30 seconds or something. Maybe you were high.
You weren't high enough. That's what it was.
Maybe. I mean, it was a great episode. You know, I mean, it was. It probably was the turning point that I have yet to figure out why it's the turning point.
Right.
But the whole time I'm like, it's going to hit any minute now. Ted said so, you know, like this is going to be the greatest moment in cinematic history. Cinematic history, you know, and I'm waiting and I'm just like, wait, that was it?
Like the rat on the thing? That's what it is? What?
No, it was good. It was good. I mean, the show so far is great. I was just laughing at the way you described that episode, and it was like the letdown for no other reason than your description of it.
I'm so sorry. Like, this is good.
Yeah, like you had me going so hard into this thing.
But see, you didn't follow my instructions to the letter, because you know, when you're in your living room and you're playing it really loud and the whole family's trying to sleep, just imagine like the rest of the house yelling at you because they can't go to sleep because you're just having
And that's what morphs time is. You're like, give me one more minute. But it felt like 15. I get it. Yeah. And that's all we watched this week.
How are you only got one episode of Waco?
One episode, yeah.
All right. After you watch Waco, try to find Red State.
Red State?
Red State. It's a Kevin Smith movie. I got to find it for you. I might own it. I might own it on DVD.
Oh, it's not on Netflix?
I don't know where it is. But it's one of the best cult movies. So I will have, there's two.
Oh, a cult movie about cults.
Cult movie about cults. Well, all cult movies are about one cult. You know? It's all about the cult that you're following. But Red State has this beautiful cult in it, and it is a Kevin Smith movie, and it's amazing. So there's two cult movies that I love. Red State is one of them. And then the other one is Lords of Illusion. It's a Scott Bakula movie.
All I got to say is when you Google Red State, mm-hmm. you get a lot of Republican propaganda.
So Red State, a 2011 film.
All right, I'll check it out. How about you send me some links?
I'll send you some links.
And we'll see where it goes. And yeah, we can always like share it
out. It's kind of like the way that the ATF messed up in Waco.
Oh, yeah.
Pushed Kevin Smith to kind of do this film. And John Goodman plays like the ATF lead that gets sent into this to de-escalate and to dismantle this.
Well, ATF or FBI?
I think ATF. But ATF's always trying to like keep the FBI out from doing it. You know, there is competing about,
exactly,
you know. And I think there's a point in Red.
That's exactly the conflict in Waco is the ATF and the FBI, and it's like, who's taking over this one? Well, we will. All right. Well, let's not do anything that makes us look bad, and we'll do everything to make them look bad.
Exactly. And so in Red State, it goes even further, where they're like, just kill them all because, you know, it's already fucked. You know, it's already messed up. Like, there's no way that this is gonna, you know, work out well for anybody. We have to make sure there's no witnesses. You know what I mean? So it's like the ATF just takes everybody out. But yeah, Kevin Smith, great film.
Yeah, I can't wait. I want to check that out.
Yeah, I'll figure out a link. I'll figure out where it's streaming, and we'll put it in our show notes.
All right, Ted, let's get out of here. But before we do, how did my beer finish?
So as always, as with all good beers, IPAs and stouts alike, it warmed, it blossomed, it gained in complexity. It got me sufficiently buzzed for the evening. Thank you. And then, like, because I didn't see the, what's it called? The sludge. What's it sludge called?
Troob.
Because I didn't see the true, I see it now at the end of my bottom of my glass, but it's not.
It's called troob.
Troob. Because I see the troob at the bottom of my glass and I see that kind of slip as I'm taking my last sips. It's not bad. I don't mind it.
And every time I drink it too, I mean, I don't care. I just pour it all in and I'm just like, you know, if I want to give it to somebody like first time, here's my beer, try my beer. Like, I'll make sure no troop gets in the bottom, you know, or it gets into the glass and they're like, oh, wow, your beer's great. But if I throw in the bottom, they're going to be like, what the hell is going on here? You know? And, but for me, like, I'll drink it. And then I always save that last little bit. And it's like a shot. Just throw it back.
Well, awesome. I finished it, you know, in the hour and a bit. And it is really, really good.
Good. So I'm curious if you'll have any issue on the toilet tomorrow because you know, yeast essentially is going to go, it's this live active thing,
right,
that's going to go in and start like fermenting stuff in your gut with your gut microbiome.
I'll let you know what tomorrow morning holds.
And I wonder if it's going to do anything and like you're going to be like on the pot, because sometimes I find that's what happens to me. Not to get gross here,
scientific perspective,
I don't need to know the details. Is the bottom of the beer, the live yeast essentially, is that keeping me regular and am I okay? Or is it not? I mean, I don't even know.
Well, I poured the very last bit of the bottle into the glass to drink it. So
attaboy.
I will make sure that tomorrow morning we will have a report for you.
Next thing you know, like, you'll be eating rice and getting drunk because it's fermenting the rice. All right, man. Well, hey, you have a good night.
All right. You too. Have a good night, Jimmy. Bye.
All right. Later. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.